to the Power Hour. Thank you so very much for joining us, caring about your world, doing the next right and honorable thing. We're going to be talking this hour to Joseph Hickman. He is the author of a book that I'm so glad has been written, needed to be written, and I hope it makes a huge difference among people that are supposed to be out there to protect the veterans, I hope. But unfortunately, I think we're going to learn a lot about people that worked against the veterans. He spent most of his life, Joseph did, in the military, first as a Marine, then as a soldier in both the Army and the National Guard. He was deployed on several military operations throughout the world, attached to foreign militaries, the recipient of more than 20 commendations and awards. He was awarded the Army Achievement Medal, the Army Commendation Medal, while he was stationed with the 629th Military Intelligence Battalion in Guantanamo Bay. He is currently working as an independent researcher, senior research fellow at Seton Hall Law School's Center for Policy and Research. His revelations about the abuse of prisoners at Gitmo, and we definitely do want to talk about that, he had an article in Harper's Magazine of Murder at Camp Delta. He also has written for Time, Vice News, Al Jazeera America, and now the book that he brings to us, The Burn Pits, The Poisoning of America's Soldiers. Joseph, thank you so much for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure. And we honor those who honor the truth, and it sounds like you probably have maybe might have gotten sideways with a few people when you wrote this book and also the book Murder at Camp Delta. Am I correct on that?
Oh, that's very correct, yes.
Yeah. Well, the whole idea is most people have no concept of what the military is like now. No concept whatsoever. And I'm so torn here. I want to talk to you about Guantanamo, and I want to talk to you about the burn pits. But let's talk about the state of the military now. What were your service years, by the way?
Well, I had a break in service quite a bit. I was in the Marine Corps first in 1983 to 1987. I got out of the military after my obligation expired, with honorable discharge, of course. And I took some time off. I tried to do some things in the civilian world, and I just missed the military. So I eventually went back in years later in the 90s and finished up my 16 years to get 20 years in.
Wonderful.
So it was my time was, you know, broken up in quite a few different places. I would think I've had enough, and I'd get out, and then I'd miss it and go back in. It was a weird
well,
thing,
the idea,
actually a lot of people do.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of people don't realize that once you've been in the military, there's that esprit de corps that you just don't find anywhere else, and, of course, especially in the Marines. And so the whole idea is that, you know, it takes a long time to adjust to civilian life later on, and then especially once you have been wounded by your own men, you know, in something that could be called friendly fire, like these burn pits, you really have a tough time trying to get along on the outside. Well, let's start with the burn. Well, no, I want to start with, when was your latest time in the military? What year?
2010.
Okay, so fairly recent then. Have you seen the esprit de corps or the military change since 83 to 2010, or what changes have you seen?
Yes, I have. Actually, the change came around 9/11. I would say after 9/11, you start to see a real change in the military. In the 90s, there were some hiccups too, but really the big change came after 9/11. And I would say the biggest challenge for soldiers today, and I don't know if you'd even call it a challenge, but some things that young soldiers have to realize, we're in a state now, the military is, to where we have to question our authority. And in the 80s, you would never even consider doing that. You thought that your leaders had the best intentions in mind or the mission in mind, but they had your back. And now it feels like you have to question your leaders when they give you a command. You don't know you don't know if they're going to support you or not. And
that's
in
right.
many cases, after 9/11, they have not.
And the very fact that if you do question authority, you may be court-martialed or whatever. And that's the kind of thing that happened with Michael New. And if anybody doesn't think that you can question authority and get away with it, well, just look at the Michael New story. And it's very tragic what happened to his career as a result of him standing up in the military. But you're right.
Absolutely.
After 9/11, things changed. And though there was this, we got to go kill them all and let God sort them out mentality, and the more killing we can do, the better off everybody will be, there was this absolute lack of disregard for the health and welfare of the soldiers. I mean, since 1990 on, with Desert Storm, Desert whatever you want to, you know, all of the pre and post operations, literally left thousands, if not tens of thousands, of military ill, sick, dying, whatever. Let's talk about the burn pits, because I've talked to my audience about the Gulf War, because I'm the spokesperson for the Gulf War, Gulf War Veterans Association, and we have certainly exposed that area. But then along comes along the burn pits. Explain to the listeners now, let's do a who, what, where, when, and why about these burn pits and why they are so important.
Well, the burn pits, they've been around. The military has been using open air burn pits to dispose of trash and waste for years. I mean, it can go back. You can see it, you know, through Vietnam and all the way up through the present situation. But the burn pits they're massive burn pits we used in Iraq and Afghanistan. What I write about that we use to dispose of trash. People don't realize how much trash war accumulates. Every soldier on the ground, it's estimated they accumulate at least 10 pounds of trash a day. And that doesn't include all the bombardment and the rubble caused from the bombardments, the construction, the maintenance on our vehicles, and everything that creates waste. So we had burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan, some as large as 10 acres, and burning 50 tons of trash a day. Now, these burn pits were located on...
Wow. Tons. I just want people to understand. 50 tons of trash a day. Now, is that per burn pit or per all of the burn pits?
Per burn pit.
Wow. And how many burn pits were there?
There was over 270 in Iraq and Afghanistan, scattered all around on different bases. And they would burn, the problem is from 2001 to 2009, they burned anything and everything in these burn pits. There was no set regulation by Central Command on what they could or could not burn. They burned everything from medical waste, batteries, plastics, tires.
Body parts.
Anything you can think of, even human body parts.
Mm-hmm.
It was animal carcasses, anything you could think of, they burned, and there was no regulation. EPA regulations, it would have been totally illegal in the United States to do this under EPA regulations, but since it was Iraq and Afghanistan, those regulations didn't apply, and we just did whatever we wanted.
So if you're talking in terms of 50 tons of trash for some 200-plus burn pits, how many soldiers are we talking about that were exposed to these pits, some of them in a close arena, given the fact that they had their bunks were set up or their accommodations were set up fairly close to the burn pits?
Yes, and let me make it clear, not all the burn pits were that size. Some were massive in size that way. Some were smaller, but the smaller ones were on smaller bases. They were still all of them were very close to where these soldiers were housed, soldiers, Marines, and sailors. They were some within 500, I've heard some within 500 feet, which is ridiculous, but within a quarter mile of these massive burn pits, they were being fumigated by them. And They were, I'm sorry, what was the rest of your question?
Well, no, I mean, but I'm saying that on a daily basis, there were thousands and thousands of soldiers that were being impacted by this. And I repeat, on a daily basis, many of them complained. Many of them tried to do something about it, and we'll talk about that. But what makes this war different than the Vietnam War? We didn't hear about the burn pits in Vietnam. Why this war, and why was it different?
Well, just like how war has evolved and our weaponry and everything else. Also, you know, trash on the battlefield has evolved. Back then, we used a lot of, we had metal plates. We had metal utensils. We had, we didn't have as many plastics as we do now, as many disposable items as we do now. It was a lot of permanent items that soldiers used, and trash has gotten much more toxic over the years because of our use of disposable items.
All right, so we're talking in terms of how many thousands of soldiers do you think have been impacted? If you were to make a guess, and just a, you know, just a guess, how many thousands of soldiers do you think were impacted as a result of this? We'll be back after this 4-minute break with our guest today, Joseph Hickman, the author of The Burn Pits, The Poisoning of America's Soldiers. And it continues today as we speak. We'll be back. 4-minute break. This is the Power Hour with Joy Schreiner.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles in the air.
This is dedicated to our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we don't often hear the second verse of that, but that is dedicated to our guest today, Joseph Hickman, for doing what he is doing. You know, we honor those vets. We honor those troops that do the right thing. Many people are not doing the right thing in the military today. So, Joseph Hickman, thank you so very much for joining us today and the work you've done in the burn pits. We really, really salute you at the Power Hour.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, let's talk about what's happened to those troops that were near the burn pits, and how many are we talking about that were subjected to this kind of treatment that really basically treated like animals and then kicked to the side of the curb like dead animals after they served in the military and became injured by the burn pits? How many vets are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about over 60,000.
Wow.
And
I'm sure.
I get that number from, the VA created a burn pit registry because they had so many complaints come in. They started a registry, just like the Gulf War syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
They started a registry the same way. And we know that over 60,000 veterans have signed up complaining that they're ill from their exposure from the burn pits. Now, that number's low because, obviously, the soldiers that have already passed, they are not allowed to, their spouses and their widows, their mothers and dads, they're not allowed to put them on the burn pit registry. So that number is actually considered to be low. It's much higher.
I'm sure it is, because the Gulf War Registry, was much higher of the people that wanted to do something. But then when they found out they registered, they were kind of a non-entity, because nobody that even said they had Gulf War illness got any kind of compensation or disability or whatever if they mentioned the term Gulf War illness. I don't know if it was the same way for the burn pit situation, but what happened? What started to happen with these troops when they came home or while they were in the theater and began to get ill? What kinds of symptoms were you seeing?
Well, it varies. quite a bit. Some of them just had mild respiratory problems, and some, you know, after coming home, developed rare cancers and tumors, blisters on their bodies. They would Parkinson's, loss of motor skills. It's a variety of issues, but they're so young, and it just didn't make sense to have this large number of people come down with so many illnesses so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the numbers, the cancer rates are so much higher for soldiers that deployed that never deployed. Birth defects are 6 times higher for soldiers,
yes,
that deployed that never deployed. I mean, the numbers are staggering, and they're out there.
They are truly staggering, and if we knew the truth of it, probably many, many more troops were involved in this, were kicked to the side of the curb, like I said, and really not given any kind of compensation, left to kind of rot, literally. I mean, because they were not allowed to be taken care of when they came back. They had problems with their families, ended up, there's so many homicides and suicides that, you know, capital offenses are huge amongst military vets now, given the fact that many of them have killed someone. And, you know, the truth is, it's a shame that it is a capital crime and that people were killed, but you can't mess with people's brains and then expect them to be normal. That's just all there is to it. What was the Department of Defense response, the Pentagon's response, the VA's response? See, I went through the whole issue of the Gulf War illness with the vaccines and with all those other issues with the Gulf War Vets Association. I went through that fight, mm-hmm, if you will, and it was a fight. But what was the, and I know what the response of the Pentagon was then. It's all in your head. Gee, you must have a problem. Need to figure out what your problem is. Don't bother us anymore. When we come back from this break, let's talk about the DOD response, VA response, and the Pentagon's response. We'll be back after this 3-minute break with our guest today, Joseph Hickman. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. The Burn Pits, available at, we'll tell you how to get it after this break. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for wanting to know the truth and for being a part of the solution, not the problem. Please purchase from the Power Mall. We want to encourage you to support the Power Mall. That's how we stay on the air. And you're not going to hear this story by Joseph Hickman in very many places because it's not popular talk in terms of the truth of as to why our military are sick and dying. So please support the Power Mall. Getting back to our guest today, Joseph Hickman, The Burn Pits. Joseph, where can people get your book? I know it's at Amazon. Where else can they get it?
It's at bookstores everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. All bookstores seem to be carrying it, except I can tell you this. My book has been banned from the PX and the Navy exchanges, all 3,400 stores.
Oh,
they will not sell it
on
any military base.
Wow. That ought to tell you something right there for sure. That ought to tell you something. What about the reception that this book has gotten? We'll get to back to the other question that I asked you in just a second. But what kind of reception is this book getting from media sources?
Well, it's gotten good reception. Several media outlets picked it up. Only one major media outlet picked the book up. There's really a strong effort by the Pentagon to squash this story. They don't want this out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want this story out at all, and they've done a good job at squashing it.
Oh, I'm sure. Which media outlet did cover it?
The Guardian.
Okay, good, good. But nothing in the United States. That was the same way that, you know, I had the fight over the Gulf War illness issue. And I actually had CNN call me one day and say, look, we know that you're telling the truth, and we know the situation. But how do you respond to this argument here? I mean, they would test me and want to know what my response would be, though they would now never allow the information on the air on the truth about the Gulf War illness. And it's sad because it cost thousands and thousands of lives. And there are people still at stake. And now we have the burn pit issue only on top of it. So the Pentagon, what was their official response, the VA and the VA, the Department of Defense, and the Pentagon?
Well, the VA has not. Let me start with the Pentagon. Pentagon's in full denial mode. They're saying the burn pits were, yeah, we had burn pits. They were operational, but they weren't harmful, which is absolutely ridiculous when you look at what was burned in these burn pits and how large they were and how close the service members lived to these burn pits, and not even including the Iraqi population around the area. I mean, cancer rates are up over 100% in Iraq since 2002. It's not, no question they're harmful, but they're actually saying they're not harmful. They weren't harmful to anyone, which I just find absolutely amazing they could say that. The VA, on the other hand, is denying. I've interviewed over 1,000 soldiers writing this book that were sick, and many dying from the burn pits. And the VA is, I can name on one hand how many people received VA disability benefits for exposure to the burn pits. They rarely give that award that to any veteran. They've actually, even some doctors, when soldiers have went, or service members, I should say, because a Marine, everyone's be called a soldier. When service members go to, the veterans go to the VA and question, you know, say, hey, I'm sick from these burn pits, VA doctors have actually at times accused them of lying and saying they were just trying to get benefits and treated very poorly.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Imaginable has been given to troops. I was injured. I was a captain in the Air Force. I was a flight nurse, and I was injured, vaccine injured. I went to my Colonel Mountain after Desert Storm, and I was quite ill. And I had driven over to the base to plead my case, not for just me, but for many of the nurses. And I was told, "You're not sick. They're not sick. Nobody's sick." I mean, that was a standard line they were supposed to tell everybody. And then I heard every excuse in the world. I'm sure you have gone through the same song, you know, 119th verse. It has been probably the most frustrating thing you have ever done. You know, you build a field and they will come. Well, tell the truth and nobody wants to hear it. And that's probably what's happened to you, isn't it?
Yes, it's history repeating itself with Agent Orange and with Gulf War Syndrome. Now we have the burn pits, and it's repeating itself over and over again. We send our people to war without question, but then when they come home ill, we don't want to take care of them, and we question everything that comes out of their mouth.
And they also ask the Wounded Warriors group, which I have never seen one veteran helped that I have approached them with, And it becomes a disaster because they take up all the money, the donation money, and then pay, you know, each other $600,000 or whatever a year. And nobody really sees much coming from these veterans organizations, which I have no use. There's only two that I respect anywhere, anytime, any place because of what has happened. But I'm sure you have faced the same situation, is that, you know, people come to you and say now, well, what can we do about this? This is terrible. This shouldn't happen. What can we do about it? What do you tell them when they say that, when they ask that question?
Well, here's what I do. After writing, you know, I'm a writer. I write books. I write articles. This is what I do for money. But after interviewing these soldiers and and doing this book, I decided to donate all my royalties to an organization called Burn Pit 360, which I've vetted very closely.
Oh, and wonderful.
They are truly out there to help veterans that were, you know, exposed to the burn pits. They're helping them in every way they can with information, with helping them financially. So I just felt like after I wrote this book, it weighed on me so hard. I felt like if I took the royalties I would have made from this book, it was blood money. So I decided to give the royalties to an organization that will actually help these veterans.
Well, that is really, really honorable of you to do that. I didn't ever write a book or do anything. There were no, there was nothing to offer up from the Gulf War veterans, unfortunately. We helped them on our own and did things on our own for them privately without a 501c3 organization, because that's where all the problems started. And everybody, you know, we had 80 Gulf War veterans organizations after the Gulf War, 80 that were coming to the aid and of them. And now, later on, there's only two. One that is supported by the DOD and our group called Gulf War Vets at GulfWarVets.com, American Gulf War Veterans Association. And we never became a 501c3 because we knew what would happen if we did. The tragedy is these troops are not being taken care of. And kudos to you for giving your money from these books. And I know there's not a lot of money to be made from books nowadays, but thank you so much for what you are doing. And
gives a, when if someone purchases a book, they know they're purchasing this and it's actually going to help the soldiers that they're reading about.
Yes, that means a lot. That means a lot. Let's... you know, give me, before we move on to Guantanamo, I want you to give me a case study, sort of an appearance, a look of one of the worst cases of the vets that have come back from Iraq or Afghanistan that suffers from the effects of the burn pits. What are they like? What are they acting like? Give me sort of a compilation, a picture of them.
Well, I can tell you about a young man that lived in a rural area of Texas, and he came home. He served his time in Iraq for a year. He was at Camp Taji. He came home. He was just excited about getting out of the military and getting married. And he got married shortly after coming home, 23 years old. Just a big, strong guy, and he rapidly became ill with a rare disease that actually just tears your immune system down. And the VA doctors, he went to the VA. They said, they would treat him, but it wasn't service connected, so they couldn't give him any benefits, meaning that his injury or his illness didn't occur from his active service in Iraq. So he later on got tumors on his body. He was unable to walk to the end of his driveway without being completely out of breath. It turned rapidly into brain cancer. And he died right while I was writing the book, actually. I was interviewing.
Oh, my.
And,
oh, my. 20-some years old. Yeah, 20-some years old. 20-some years old. These troops are so young, and they shouldn't be dying from these horrendous diseases. And, of course, the DOD or the VA wants to say, well, we can't find one single cause. And if they can't relate it to one germ or one whatever, then they say there is no single cause, and therefore there is no compensation and no benefits. I mean, just criminal. I was vaccine injured, and I hate to keep bringing it back to me, but this is such a close corollary to what happened in the Gulf War. I was vaccine injured from a vaccine, but they said, well, no, you can't be part of the VA, you can't participate, you can't get any blah, 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 whatever. I never did a day, went to the VA because we weren't allowed, many of us that were reservists. So that's just the way they leave it. Too bad, so sad, and you're left left on your own. I just hope that this book makes a difference, and I hope you're able to get into the circles that can do something about this, because, you know, and I get angry at people like, you know, Bernie Sanders, who sat on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee for 6 years as chairperson, did nothing, and now he keeps talking about how he wants to help the vets. He had his chance. He could have done something, and he didn't.
That is really, you know, I touch on the book, you know, the politics of this, and the, you know, I went to Senator Ron Johnson here in the state of Wisconsin, where I'm from, and took him a list of 45 soldiers in his home state that are sick and ill, and they say, you know, they're sick and ill from the burn pits. I took him a detailed report from my company on the burn pits on how this exposure made them ill, and, you know, he said he was interested. He called me back. 3 weeks later, didn't hear nothing. 4 weeks later, didn't hear nothing. 5 weeks later, he cuts VA funding. That was his answer to me right there.
Wow.
He never contacted me. So I, you know, come November, I plan on firing Ron Johnson.
Well, that would be nice. That would be nice. You know, you mentioned in your book about Kellogg Brown and Root, Halliburton, some of these companies that were involved. Do you want to name any of the major companies that were involved in this?
Well, it's mainly KBR, Kellogg Brown & Root. They were the they constructed and operated most of the burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. Obviously, it's a Halliburton subsidiary, and you know, it was former Vice President Dick Cheney was the CEO
right.
of that company.
Have there been any lawsuits brought? Have there been any class action or individual action lawsuits brought?
There is a class action lawsuit right now pending against KBR and Halliburton by several hundred veterans. The problem they're running into with this lawsuit is there's a doctrine called the Ferris Doctrine. Are you familiar
right.
with that?
Right. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, then you know where I'm going with this.
Well, let me just explain to the listeners. You can't sue the military for anything. They can run over you, and you can't sue them. That's the Ferris Doctrine.
That's correct. So now the veterans say, well, we're going to go after the people that constructed and operated these burn pits. So they're going after KBR. The problem is KBR is blaming everything on the military, and the military is staying silent, not saying – not giving any response at all. So it puts the case in a legal limbo, sort of, and puts all the burden of proof on the soldiers
mm-hmm.
and the veterans.
And that's the way it's done. And that's the way they get away from having to pay anything. With the Gulf War illness issue, there was a huge class action that was done that I challenged from the minute it was started, that it was a control lawsuit. Control from the standpoint of it'll never go anywhere and we'll make sure it doesn't go anywhere because we're controlling the lawsuit. And that's exactly what happened. So I'm sad to hear that there's another one of those lawsuits out there. I do hope they have more presence to get outside a controlled lawyer that might be doing this. Let me switch to Guantanamo.
I just wanted to say, you know, it really shows DOD has sided with the with the companies and not the soldiers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Since Vietnam, for sure. Let's talk about Guantanamo, because that's a major issue. I think we've been lied about as to what Guantanamo was utilized for from the very beginning. What was your experience like? How long were you at Guantanamo?
I was at Guantanamo for a year, from March 2006 to March 2007.
And what was your job, responsibility, MOS, whatever?
I was a guard at Guantanamo with the 629th Military Intelligence. I had several positions. I was a sergeant that had had a lot of leadership responsibilities there. I would run the Quick Reaction Force, which was a SWAT-like team set up to go in and. And any disturbances the detainees may have acted up or anything, we would, you know, squash that. I was also in the towers doing an overwatch over the detainees. I would also do perimeter patrol around where all the detainee facilities were.
Okay, when we come back from this three-minute break, I've got some specific questions to ask you regarding Guantanamo. And if you'd like to email me, listeners, if you would like to ask a question, we're probably not going to have much time to take phone calls. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world, doing the next right and honorable thing. Like our guest today is doing, Joseph Hickman. You know, when you go out on a limb and you write a book like this, I'm telling you, you don't get to be the Thousand Points of Light Award winner. That's for sure. They don't honor you for doing things like this. And, of course, you all know we did Beyond Treason, which is a DVD available at the Power Mall. And if you're a vet and you want to know why you're sick from the Gulf War, we will send you a copy at no charge. We'll send you the vet version at no charge. Call the Power Hour, 573-378-6049. All right, at Guantanamo, your job was to be a guard take over in certain incidents that took place. What was it they told you that these prisoners were guilty of? How did they frame the idea that they just brought a whole bunch of guys over here, dumped them there, and never tried them for crimes? How did they explain that to you?
Heading to Guantanamo, when I arrived at Guantanamo, they constantly, the JTF Gitmo Command constantly tried to tell us that these were the worst of the worst on the battlefield. They were all Al-Qaeda. It was absolutely after I actually went into a tower my first time and looked down on these people, I knew in my gut that none of what I was being told was true. I mean, they were these people. Some of them were just looked like old poor farmers. It was no way they could have been any kind of threat in your mind, you know, a gut feeling I had. But mm-hmm. as the year went on, I knew for certain that. We have some bad people at Guantanamo, don't get me wrong, but we also have some innocent people there.
Well, if I'd have been picked up and thrown on a C-130 and brought to the United States and put in an orange jumpsuit and had a bag over my head, I probably would have been nasty also. I mean, that's just ridiculous the way these people were treated. Now, what about the experiments? It appeared to me that when they would go in walking and come out on a stretcher, maybe that should tell us something.
Well, it starts on their flight to Guantanamo. It's torture. It starts right there. You know, they sensory deprivise them. They put goggles on them so they can't see. They take away their sense of feel by putting gloves on them. And they take away all their senses for 17 hours. And then when they arrive at Guantanamo, every detainee at Guantanamo that's ever been there receives a drug called mefloquine. They receive this drug. It's an anti-malarial drug, but they give them five times the recommended dosage at one time. This drug is a clonine drug. They were using this in MKUltra. They were experimenting with it in MKUltra. It causes hallucinations and everything else. And so they're given five times the recommended dosage. And the problem is there's no malaria in Guantanamo. None of the detainees that went there had malaria. So why are they giving them this drug? It's to make them have these hallucinations and they're put in while they're in solitary confinement for the first 21 days, not able to see anyone but their interrogator. It's a battle lab. It's a big head game, the whole place.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I find this just unbelievable. I find this just so chilling. It gives me goosebumps thinking about these poor people and what they went through. And there is no real reason why they were brought over here. Now, this is a drug, methylquin is a drug called Larium, and it has long been accused of causing hallucinations. Military people that have been given it, and also now five times the normal dosage. Unbelievable. We'll be back after this. 1 minute, 10 second break with our final segment with our guest today, Joseph Hickman. The Burn Pits. Get the book, ladies and gentlemen. It'll shock you.
There's so many things going on in the world. Baby's dying. Mother's crying. How much all is one human life worth? And what happened to peace on earth? We believe everything that they tell us. They're gonna kill us, so we gotta kill them first. But I remember a commandment, thou shalt not kill. And how much is a soldier's life worth? And what happened to peace on earth? And the bewildered herd still believing everything we've been told from our birth. Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth? And whatever happened to peace on earth? So I guess it's just due unto others before they can do it to you. Let's just kill them all and let God sort them out. Is this what God wants us to do? And the bewildered herd still believing everything we've been told from our birth. Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth? Whatever happened to peace on earth? Now you probably won't hear this on your radio, probably not on your local TV. But if there's a time and you're ever inclined, you can always hear it from me. But how much is a picker's word worth? And what happened to peace on earth? But don't confuse caring for weakness. You can't put that label on me. The truth is my weapon of mass protection, and I believe that truth sets you free. And the bewildered herd still believing everything we've been told from our birth. Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth? And what happened to peace on earth?
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. As liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Stand for what's right and stand up to what's wrong. We must take America back, now and forever, with God in.
then he will bless and protect the U.S.
We must take America back.
We must take America back.
Everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.